We're going to start in Revelation. We'll get there, I think. I'm not quite sure where we're going to meander tonight. I know we're going to start in Romans 8, in verse 1. And the reason I'm starting here is because we're in a time in God right now where I think massive amounts of revelation and keys to the kingdom are being released to the body. And as they're being released, we're going to have to make choices and decisions of how to enter in and how to engage these things. And tonight we're going to be talking a little bit about trading, probably touch on gates in the courtroom. And it's going to be more of an overview because just time won't permit to go into real deep teachings. I'm going to give you enough scripture that if you want, you can begin to search out these matters yourself and that Father can begin to teach you. We'll probably touch on them a little more deeply as in the next few weeks or whatever. But with trading, and we've been talking about familiar spirits, one of the common familiar spirits that we as humans deal with is a spirit of and a familiar spirit of condemnation. And that's because we have been extremely programmed by a religious system and a religious spirit to focus more on sin than on God. And because of that, we're constantly in a place of falling short, because what we focus on is what we're going to do. If we focus on sin, we're going to walk in sin more than if we're focusing on God and who we are in Him. That will lead us into a different place. And so Romans 8:1 says, "There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit." Okay? Now, if you are walking according to the Spirit and not according to your flesh, you should not have feelings and emotions of condemnation. Okay? Now, there is conviction and condemnation. Okay, the main way of telling the difference between those two is conviction will always lead you to life, and it has hope attached to it. Now, condemnation is a sense of guilt and shame and wrongdoing that has no hope in it. There's no way out. There's nothing you can do. It just hovers around you and puts a burden on you. Now, as believers, we are not to have condemnation, that feeling and thoughts of condemnation, if we're walking after the Spirit and not after the flesh, okay? Now, if you're out living by your flesh nature, you're going to feel condemned, and you're going to feel guilt, and you're going to feel shame, and you're going to feel conviction, okay? That's how it's set up. So we have to learn to discern the familiar spirits that are harassing us, and we've got to discern, is this my emotion in a wounded area of my soul that needs to be healed and restored, or am I being harassed by a familiar spirit? Okay, we've got to learn to do that. Now, the process of the restoration of the soul, we've talked about it several times, is the maturation process that God has for us. The more we mature, the more we become like Christ, the more our soul finds rest and peace. Okay? If your soul is in turmoil and in inner conflict, there are areas that God wants to bring you into maturity to. Okay? So that's we've got to get some of these things down. Now, as we begin talking about trading, okay, do not engage with the familiar spirit of condemnation or shame or guilt. Okay? Because if you engage with it, okay, Romans 6:19, okay, I'm going to hammer it in. What you obey, you become a slave to. If you submit to that taunting and that voice of that familiar spirit of condemnation, you submit yourself to it and you become its slave. And it becomes your ruler and a king and a stronghold in your life. Okay, we've talked about how that takes place the last couple of weeks. Okay, so we've got to learn to not engage with that. All right, but as we start talking about trading and trading floors, it could raise its head. And if it does, you have to not engage with it. You have to go, no, wait. No, wait. If I confess my sin, 1 John 1:9, if I confess my sin, he is faithful and just to cleanse me and to forgive me of all unrighteousness. That becomes my confession, not my confession that, oh, I've sinned, I'm no good, I have no value, I'm worthless. See, that becomes your confession when you come into agreement with the spirit of condemnation. But your confession becomes, no, your word says in 1 John 1:9 that if I confess my sin, you are faithful and just to cleanse me of all unrighteousness. That's my confession. That becomes my confession because that's what the word says about that. I come into agreement with what the word of God says. That's a trading floor, okay? I'm giving you a hint. The word of God is a trading floor. We're going to talk, and we'll talk about the trading floors, but the word is a trading floor. So you can go and take that condemnation and go into the word that says no, 1 John 1:9. And in the court, you present that and you begin to trade that condemnation for forgiveness and cleansing. Okay, that's part of how that works. Okay, so as we begin looking at trading, we have to realize that this is a truth. Okay, do you know a law? It doesn't matter if you believe in the law of gravity or not. It's a law and it is applicable. You can stand on a building and say all day long, I do not believe in gravity. I do not believe in gravity. But when you jump, the law of gravity will intercept you and throw you to the ground. And you can, in your own being, sit there and keep saying to yourself over and over, I don't believe in the law of gravity. Okay, there are laws in the realm of the spirit. Okay, there is a thing called, it's the law of trading. Basically, every choice we make is some sort of trade. Whether you want to agree with that or whether you like it or not, that is a reality in the realm of the spirit. Okay, that means our choices have weight to them. And we can't haphazardly make choices when it involves the realm of the spirit. So that's a reality that we have to recognize, that we are participating in an unseen realm, in a dimension, whether we like it or not, we're participating in it. And we've got to recognize that there is a weightiness that comes to that as we mature and grow. Now, if you are, remember we talked about the three kind of levels. If you're a child, you have a different level and a different grace. But as you begin to grow and to mature, there are different weights and responsibilities that we have to begin to function in. Okay? We want all the benefits. Every teenager on the face of the earth wants all the privileges of being an adult, but they don't want to be an adult yet. Okay, that's a characteristic of a young person in the Lord. I want all the experiences in heaven. I want to interface in the realms of the kingdom, but I don't want to take responsibility for anything. Okay? Doesn't work that way. You gain authority by the things you're willing to accept responsibility for. Okay, these are just practical laws and the ways of the kingdom that we have to begin interacting with these laws and begin recognizing that this is the way it is. Okay? Knowingly or in ignorance, we are trading in the realm of the Spirit. Okay, now I'm going to lay some foundational things, because we have the right and the privilege of co-ruling and co-reigning here on the earth with the Lord if we'll take and accept our responsibility as sons. Okay, that's the key thing. Are we willing to take responsibility for what goes on in the earth? Okay, that's a heavy task. I had a friend who was texting me today talking about in Orlando, they've decided that they can't distribute Bibles anymore. Okay, do you know why they did that? To stop the atheists from handing out the atheist stuff. Okay, now we have to decide, are we going to allow that? And I jokingly text back and said, oh, the FCA, Fellowship of Christian Athletes, they won't allow that. And he said, yeah, they'll take them to court. And I said, the only problem is they may go to the wrong court. Because, see, we have the privilege of going to the court of heaven, the high court, the supreme, true supreme court, and deal with the matters on the earth rather than always to take the earth realm way. See, there are injustices and things that have been robbed from you that we want to deal with it in, because we haven't known the keys of the kingdom, and we want to deal with it from an earthly realm rather than going into the heavens and dealing with it in the heavenly court. And we're going to be learning how to do this. It's our privilege. It's an honor that we get. It's how it's set up in the realm of the Spirit. God wants us to co-rule and to co-reign. See, our prayers have been so structured that we ask God to do everything for us. I all the time. Oh, God, please help me get through this. Da, 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 and we'll just pray and along that line. And you know what? He does. But you know what he says? I did it at the cross. You deal with the realm of the earth. And we've got to learn to engage that way. Now, I believe I'll say it just to be saying it. Everything that we have and have been given is because of what Jesus did, the finished work of the cross. Okay? That's the foundation of everything that we do, and co-ruling and co-reigning is based on that, what he did for us. Okay? So when I'm talking about co-ruling and reigning, that's my foundation. Okay, I don't think there's anything in me that can deal with the realm of the Spirit other than God, Christ in me. Okay, there is nothing in me. I am not that good. I'm not that bad. I'm not that whatever. I am well aware that without being in Christ, I am a hopeless case when it comes to the realm of the Spirit. Okay, there's nothing good in me except Him. See, if you stop at that, there's nothing good in me, you kind of miss the point. He's in me, so it's all done. Okay, that's the beauty of being in Christ. It's not dependent on me. I don't have to qualify. I don't have to be good enough. See, once that reality of I am in Christ happens in your heart, a lot of things shift then. Because then I don't have to worry. Am I good enough? Did I behave well enough? Do I know enough scripture? Is it going to work if I pray for someone? See, all of that gets done away with when I'm standing in my position of being in Christ. Because when I'm standing there, that's all that the realm of the Spirit sees, is me moving in and around and among Christ. Okay, so I don't have to be qualified. Do you realize you can breathe? I don't have to qualify to lay hands on the sick. I don't have to qualify to raise the dead. I don't have to qualify at all. If you feel that, that is a religious spirit, a familiar spirit that is based in religious indoctrination. And you've got to learn to deal with it. Or it's going to hammer you every time you step out and want to engage in the kingdom. You'll get that, oh man, I just am, yeah, man, I think I said a cuss word this week. I just probably should not do that, or just, you know. And we start on this whole thing, conversation with ourselves. It's not with ourselves, it's with a familiar spirit. Okay? So, in that, it's our privilege and honor. We talked about how the familiar spirits create strongholds in our life. And from those strongholds, a strong man takes rule and reign over us and begins to basically take us by the neck and torment us and maneuver us into what he wants us to do, which is not to walk in who we are. All right, now I want us to get a picture, okay? Use your imagination, okay? If it needs to be cleansed, pause before you engage, and just ask God to cleanse your gate of imagination. Okay? No, we don't have to labor over it. Lord, cleanse my imagination, cleanse my eye gate for the ungodly things I've let go in. Cleanse my ears to clean out all the stuff that I've listened to that I shouldn't have been listening to. And purify my imagination gate and come and sit as the king of my imagination so that I can learn to see and engage with the realm of heaven. Okay? It's that quick. You don't have to do penance. You don't have to do 25 Hail Marys. You don't have to do any of that. Jesus paid the price. It's called repentance, the beauty of repentance. Worship, okay? Repentance is the most purest form of worship, is when we bow our knee before the Lord and acknowledge our sin. That is one of the highest acts of worship there is. Not singing a song, but humbling ourselves before the Lord. Okay, now I want us to get a picture, and this is a biblical picture, okay? Starting in Joshua, in Exodus. The stories that are there are a pattern and a picture, really, of the things in the realm of the Spirit. Okay? Yes, they're multidimensional. There was really those events that took place in real time in history. But they're also the picture and the pattern to teach us about the realm of the Spirit. All right, so in this picture, our soul is a land. And we're told that we are to take our land little by little, lest the beast of the field eat us. Okay, do you know what that means? This is a process and a journey of your soul being restored. Because if you try to take on too much, too fast, the beast, the demons, will eat you. Okay, the curse to the serpent was you will eat dust. Okay? What are we made of? The dust. They eat us. They thrive. They take our strength. Okay? So as we are dealing with our soul and it being a land that has high places and mountains on it, Okay? Use your imagination. It's a land with mountains on it. Now, there are gates in these mountains and in these high places. There are gateways. And what happens is there are strongholds that get built in these gateways. And within the strongholds are familiar spirits that become strong men that sit on the thrones and rule your life. Okay? Now, if you've not dealt with strongholds and familiar spirits, this is what your soul realm looks like. Okay? Do not get under condemnation. Just go, wow, I got some work to do. I got some co-ruling and co-reigning, and I need to get in the courtroom kind of stuff. Don't beat yourself up. Don't get angry at yourself. Don't judge yourself incorrectly. And just begin to deal with them. Again, I'm going to hammer it over and over. Romans 6:19. Who you obey, you become their slave. That's a law. That's how it works. If you obey a familiar spirit, you become its slave. All right, now what is trading? Do you know what the definition of that? It's real easy. You can find it in Webster's online. It's real easy. It's the exchanging of one thing for something else. Okay, now what's a trading floor? It's the place the trade is made. Do you realize the entire world system, economic system primarily, is based on trading? Every day they ring a bell on the New York Stock Exchange, in London, in Japan, and they begin trading. And you know what they're trading? They're trading one thing for this. Now, I can go down a rabbit trail, but I'm not going to go down this rabbit trail. About real trading that's happening in the realm of the spirit in your name, and you don't even know it. And in the realm of the spirit, it doesn't matter if you know it or not. There is a network that's formed against you, whether you realize it or not. So there, again, don't get under condemnation. All right, now some biblical references about trading. Okay, you want them so that we can have a scriptural foundation? Okay, a couple. There is a reference in Ezekiel 16:29 and Ezekiel 17:4 that talk about the land of the trader and the land of trade. Okay, that's a biblical principle that there are land and places where trading takes place. All right, Ezekiel 25 and really around 26. If you start reading those, you'll come across terms like merchant, trader, even to the point that they traded on the souls of men. Okay, that's human trafficking. It's what they do on the New York Stock Exchange. They are trading the souls of men. Now, the first trade in the earth realm was where? It was man and woman made a trade with Satan. God said, I've given you dominion. And you can be here in the garden, and you can eat of any tree you want to eat from except this one tree called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And so the serpent came. We all know the story, right? Okay, the serpent came, tempted them, and they ate from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And you know what happened? They traded dominion for bondage. And man fell. Okay, that's the first trade. There was a trade before that when Satan got thrown out of heaven. Okay, so in the very beginning, you see the principles of trading. Now, trading is the system that this world operates on and that the kingdom operates on. Okay, so we are, every choice just about that we make is some sort of trade. Every day you go to work and you give them your time, your resources, your money, you give them your time and resources, your energy, and you trade for money. So that's the system we live in. I'm going to give you my time and you're going to give me money. It's a trade. Every day we're making trades. All right, now we have a birthright that says we have the privilege of interfacing with our Father. Now, not when we just die, not just when we die. And these are the things that we're operating in that hinder us from doing that. Is the illegal trading. All right, all throughout the Old Testament, you read about the kings. Do you know how they gained power and influence? By what they traded. That same principle is in the world system now. There are kings in the earth realm. Okay, not just King whoever in Jordan. There are kings that reside over the United States. There are kings that reside over every nation on the earth. And they are in agreement with a king in the unseen realm, in the kingdom of darkness. And they have created a system that God says, be of the world, be in the world, but not of the world. The tentacles go way deep on this stuff. Way, way, way deep. Okay? Now, where most trading takes place is in the gates. Okay? Now, in the Old Testament, that the pattern was established. There were certain things that would happen within the city gates. Most business transactions took place. Most legal transactions took place. Most disputes took place. There were proclamations at the gate. And basically, who ruled the gate of a city ruled and decided what went in and out of that gateway. They were called gatekeepers. Okay, now when we think about a gate, you know, we think of this little, you know, 3x5 whatever kind of thing. That's not the gates that were in the Old Testament. The wall that they tore down by shouting in Joshua, they were so wide, they ran chariot races around them. And all on the substructure and around the bottom of that wall was the city gates. It's where all the merchants hung out. And how, see, that applies in our world. In the gateways of our soul, transactions are made all the time. Okay, in the gate, the soul gates, y'all remember what those were? In your conscience, reason, imagination, mind, emotion, choice, and will. Those are the gates in your soul realm. Okay, and we've encouraged probably for the last couple of years to go and examine and to look at your gates in your soul. Because if there is an ungodly gatekeeper there, and you're trafficking with that ungodly keeper, what's happening? It's gaining more and more and more authority over you. Again, there is no condemnation. But if we want to mature and we want our soul restored, we've got to start looking at this. We've got to start asking God to make the gate of our of reverence and the gate of the fear of the Lord sensitive, so that when we begin walking down and begin trading and trafficking with a familiar spirit, that our that we become awakened to it so that we don't go down that path. But right now, the whole premise of a familiar spirit, it's so familiar, we think it's us. Remember we talked about that? It knows us better than we know ourselves. It knows every button you've got and punches them repeatedly. And we've got to allow the fear of the Lord and reverence for God to become sensitive in us so that we recognize I am illegally trading right now. And I am giving away my birthright by doing it. So you can choose to work 60 hours a week. You know what you're trading? Your family for mammon. Okay, now if you have to work 60 hours to survive, you know, I would recommend asking your father to help you, because I don't think he wants you to sacrifice your family just to pay the bills. I do not believe that. I believe we have a higher privilege than just working for mammon in our life. Okay, that's a bad trading floor to be on right there. Now, Mike Parsons is a guy that I've got some of this information that I'm about to share. I encourage you to look up his website. It's called Sons of Issachar. And he talks about trading. He talks a lot of good stuff on there, very practical stuff. And he talks about there being seven primary trading floors. Okay? Now, as I'm reading over them, do not get under condemnation, please. Just recognize that you may have been trading on these floors. All right, now the first one is the trading floor of Tyre. Okay, basically that deals with money and materialism. Okay, this is often about money taking from God, using it for your own purposes. This includes such areas as tithes, offerings, gambling, financially cheating, and financial debt. Okay, if you're operating in some of those things, you may be trading on that trading floor. Okay, we could get into a lot of stuff about the cheating on your income tax, all that kind of stuff. All of that deals with this. Okay, you may get away with it and get back an extra $100. But can I please let you know, it's going to cost you more than $100 is worth in the realm of the spirit. It may cost you having an encounter face to face with your father. See, we don't want to think like that. No. That would not cost me that. Jacob, was it Esau and Jacob? Esau lost his birthright over a bowl of soup. Cried bitterly in repentance. And he still lost it. Just imagine. I have a thing about ink pens, so please don't get nice ones around me, because I am tempted to take them, because I have a thing for them. And I have noticed I had someone's ink pen that wasn't mine. And you know what? I had to find them and give it back, because I thought, I do not want to lose an encounter with God over that ink pen. It is not worth it. See, some things aren't worth it, but we are so unconscious that we don't even realize some of these things. Okay, the next one, you ready? Is the trading floor of Jezebel. Okay, deals with manipulation, control, domination, and witchcraft. This covers the issues where you use emotion, politics, sexuality, bribery, blackmail, and the use of substances to alter how you feel or to get something you want. Just take a look at some ads on TV. That is a trading floor of Jezebel right there. Okay? Now the next one is Athaliah. Athaliah. Okay, that deals with the kingly seed. That deals with poor self-image, believing lies in the familiar spirits, and Masonic involvement. All belong to that trading floor. Now the king of Tyre, Jezebel, and Athaliah, all dealt with Baal worship. Okay? Deal with idolatry. Because most of this trading, what ultimately happens is we set up idols. Okay, we'll get into that a little bit later. Now, the fourth one is Cain. Deals with murder. It's not always only physical attacks, but any kind of anger, aggression, character assassination, accusations, and selfishness is all a part of that floor. Then you've got Delilah that deals with seduction. This is where people live in a fantasy, especially romantic or sexual fantasies, finding ways to gain and hang on to acceptance, approval, affirmation. They have a lust for money, lust for power, and a lust for influence. Okay, Leviathan deals with gossip, lies, and deception. This deals with lying or cheating, and to make others think better of you. You tell half-truths, self-promotion. You look to impress, and there's gossiping. Okay, and then there's Apollyon. That's the floor where it opposes the gospel. Now, what this looks like is whenever we water down the gospel of the kingdom, we offer a cheap salvation gospel, that we get involved with cults, we're ruled by fear or embarrassment, or we fail to share the whole truth of the gospel for any reason. That we're on that trading floor. Okay? Now, in the world of being politically correct, we may be trading on that floor because we're afraid to say something because it may offend someone. So we just have to check our hearts on things. Okay? Now, there are also godly trading floors. Thank God for that. You know, that's like a whoo, hallelujah. Okay? I talked about one already. The Word of God is a trading floor. You can take the promises into the court of heaven and petition the things that you have desires for based on the Word of God. Because the promises of God are yes and amen. Okay? That's 2 Corinthians 1:20. Okay, You learn in dealing with the Word of God, you learn the laws of the kingdom, like the laws of reaping and sowing, the law of faith, the law of life. You learn the laws of the kingdom, and you go into the court and you petition the court based on the laws of the kingdom. And that's trading on the floor, trading floor of the Word of God. Okay, we've been teaching financial trading for years. If you tithe, give your offerings, God will bless you. Okay? That's the trading floor. That's a financial trading floor of reaping and sowing, using that law. Okay, the next one. One of my, but this one I really like. And it's the trading floor of the blood and the cross of Christ. Do you know, everything we need, we can trade right there. We just have to go and lay down our unrighteousness, our shame, whatever it is that is not like Christ. All we have to do is to go to the cross, lay it at the cross, cover it in the blood, and make a divine exchange. That's it. That's one of the most powerful trading floors, is the blood and the cross. Okay, the next one. Well, before I go through that, communion is a part of that trading floor. Okay, you can trade your sickness, you can trade all sorts of things in communion at that trading floor. Okay, now the next one that we go to is trading on the sea of glass. That one's in Exodus 24, I believe. And just for a thought, when Moses came down off the mountain, which was Mount Sinai, not Mount Zion, it was Mount Sinai, said he came down with tables of stone. In your mind, what does that look like? Little rocks? What were they made out of? I had a friend who has a song called Sapphire Sea. And we were sitting in a meeting, and she had this thing on CDs, had sang it publicly, I don't know how many times. And this scripture was pointed out, that there is a sapphire stone that is before the throne. Because she had prophetically gotten Sapphire Sea and had no idea it was in the Bible. And we were sitting at, a John Paul Jackson conference, and he pointed that out, and I thought she was going to come unglued. She was like, oh my gosh, it's right there in the Word. And she's like, did they just put it in there? You know how you read something over and over and over and you don't see it, and then all of a sudden the light bulb comes on? And you're like, yeah, what? That's really in there? I mean, Virginia jokes all the time about that. Because there are mysteries being unfolded, and we're reading things in the Word that have been there the whole time, but we didn't see them. And now there's a grace to see things. Okay, now in the sea of glass, certain things took place there. Exodus 24, go look there. There's also the altar where we lay in exchange and become a living sacrifice. On the altar of God is a trading place. Romans, I think that's 12, 1 and 2, is that where it's at? Anybody know? I think that's where it's at. It's right there in Romans, if it's not 12, 1 and 2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God. Okay. I don't know the address, but I got the verse. I I think it's right in there. Okay, that's the altar of living sacrifice. The other place is the garden, your garden. Your heart is a trading floor. We get to take seeds and plant them in our garden and eat from the fruit of them. John 12:24 talks about when a seed must fall to the ground and die. There are things that you've had to let go of that died. And you know what? You need to take them and plant them in the garden of your heart and allow them to come to life the way God chose them to come into. Because sometimes we hold on to things that we think are God, but they're not. And they die, and when we're not careful, we get under disappointment. And we get angry with God. And he goes, if you'll just take that seed and plant it in your heart, my plan and purpose will come to pass. Okay, so don't let the seeds that have died. Where to go? Okay, I'm going to touch on the courtroom for just a bit. You're going to have to listen really fast because it's getting late, right? Okay, I'm just going to give you some my favorite places where the snapshots of the court are in the scriptures, and then you can study them, and we'll probably talk about them in the next week or so. Okay, my favorites. Okay, there are others in there. Daniel 7. Okay. Daniel 7, just read the whole chapter, it talks about it. Okay, Psalm 97 talks about the foundation of God's throne is righteousness and justice. Those are legal terms right there. Zechariah 3. And if you want to go down, I call it a rabbit trail, but it's an awesome trail if you want to go down it. Starts in Ezekiel 1. With a throne on wheels and a sapphire stone. Then if you go to Exodus 24:9-10, talks about a sapphire stone. Revelation 15:2 talks about a sea of glass mingled with fire. I've been there. There are blue flames in that fire there. Psalm 97, again, foundation of God's throne. Job 1:6-12. Job 2:7 talks about gatherings and assemblies. In heaven. And then Psalm 100 gives us the protocol for entering into the gates, God's gates, and into God's courts. Now, there's more than one court in heaven, okay? The one where you deal with your trading and your sin is the courtroom, okay? But there's courts of counsel in different courts that are in scriptures. Psalm 100 gives you the protocol to enter into the court. Now, the last several times of worship where we entered into the high praises of God, we were entering into his court. Okay, you've got to recognize we just weren't here kicking up our heels and clapping our hands. We were following the protocol into through his gates and into his court because we wanted to do some things there. Courtroom is where judgments and permission is granted or annulled. Okay, you have to remember it's fixed on our behalf. Our Father is the judge. Jesus is our advocate. It's a rigged court. Okay, that's a bonus. Okay, intercession technically is petitioning and counter-petitioning in the courtroom. And if we will learn to do warfare from the courtroom and not on the earth realm, we will be much more victorious. But we've not been taught how to battle from that dimension. Okay, I'm going to close on this. We talked about in Psalm 149, where it talked about, let me get the scripture, because y'all will get me if I misquote it. Okay, Psalm 149. Well, I'm going to start with 2 Corinthians 10:4 through 6. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they're mighty in God, for pulling down strongholds, casting down arguments, and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. Verse 6, and ready to punish all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. Okay, Psalm 149. Verse 6 is where I'll start. Let the high praises of God be in their mouth and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance on the nations and to punish and punishment on the peoples, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron. Verse 9, to execute on them the written judgment. This honor have all the saints, praise the Lord. The written judgment, do you know where that takes place? In the court of heaven. And when we get the written documents from the court, we then can execute. And that's where we've got to learn how to war from. Okay? So I'm going to stop there because y'all know about numbuts. Okay, and I ran across this verse, Psalm 104:21. The young lions roar after their prey and seek their food from God. And I like that verse. Okay, so we're going to pray, and I'm just going to ask the Lord that our hearts will become very sensitive, so that we will this week begin to examine if we're trading on an ungodly trading floor, if we are, to repent and to walk back, get off that path and get back to the right trading floors. Okay, go to the cross, repent, nullify that trade. Okay, and we'll do more demonstration in the next week, because I'm an activator. I don't like just giving scripture. I like then doing it. I am a doer of the word, not just a hearer only. That's where I get real charged. Okay, so, Father, we just thank you for truths that you are unveiling to us, that you're showing us how to become untangled from this system. Holy Spirit, I would ask that you would make us very sensitive, that when we begin trading on an illegal floor or an ungodly floor, that you will bring conviction to us, that you will bring correction to us. I ask that the gate of the fear of the Lord and the gate of the reverence of God would be sensitized in us, that we fear God more than we fear man, that we would give you reverence, Lord, that you would have preeminence in every decision that we're making. We thank you that the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty in the pulling down of strongholds. We thank you that you give us the honor to execute your judgments on the earth. We thank you for the trading floor of the cross and the blood of Jesus. We thank you for the trading floor of the Word of God, that we can come into the court and petition the court to fulfill the laws of God in our life. Jesus, we thank you that you have finished the work. Teach us how to be in Christ, how to be conscious of that. And Father, we bless you. We thank you for your goodness and your kindness, your great grace, your faithfulness to us. Jesus, thank you that whom you set free is free indeed. Teach us that the realm of the unseen, the realm of heaven, that the kingdom of God is more real than the world we live in. Open our eyes to see. We thank you that we are in the name of Christ. Amen.